The title is Igniting God's Passion. Luke chapter 12, verse 49 through 51. Jesus speaks, I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint, what distress I am under until it will be completed. Do you think that I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. Amen. Here is one of the few passages in the scriptures Jesus speaks directly and says why he has come. If I wanted to summarize the whole Bible into one verse, just extracting all the powerful messages into one verse, it will be John 10:10. Here also Jesus said, I have come for a purpose. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you have life and that you have it to the full. Jesus came for a purpose, to give a life. Today's passage says he wants to kindle fire within you. What kind of fire would that be? This fire is rebirth, coming to a relationship with the living God. It's more than just being a religious person. There are so many people who are religious. They go to church on Sundays and Fridays and whatever the days of the week. I heard today someone goes to church every day, spends all their life in the church. Great. It's a place of worship. Nowhere else we want to be, right? In the house of God. But it is possible that we can be so religious and missing the mark of what Jesus intended us to be and us to do. Here is Jesus speaking to us. He wants to start a fire within you. What kind of fire? Jesus came to ignite his passion in his people, separating all God's people from the people of this world. It means you and I who receive this salvation enters into a new life that is far different, dividing from the people of this world and become the people of God. This is the fire that he's talking about. And often we use the word born again, the word rebirth. This is what the Jesus wanted to do when he came. Now, the fire refers to fire of life, the spiritual life. Now, Ephesians 2:1 says these words. We were dead in our transgressions. We were dead without God, without hope, without future. Where the God in heaven and man on this earth, the relationship was cut in Genesis 3. That's what happened. See, human beings have the body, soul, and the spirit. Spirit died on that day. And that's what happened. We were born without the spirit. And Jesus came and said, I want to give you life. He offers you life. Did you take it? Did you receive it? If you did, the fire was kindled within you. But it's so possible that it never happened. You just became a religious person. I remember going to a church for about 2 years. I thought I became a Christian. I was going through all the things that church people did. I even paid my 10% of my income and thinking that I became a Christian. But I never did. I knew because I never entered into a relationship with Jesus. I pray for all of you in this room. You do not miss this message today that Jesus wants you. Jesus desires you. He came to die on the cross for you. He paid the price once and for all. He justifies you. It's a free gift. You need to receive it. Once you enter into that relationship, totally justified by the grace of Jesus Christ, you enter into a new life. After the justification comes the sanctification, where you become more and more and more holy, more and more like Christ. This is the step that every Christian needs to take, but a lot of people miss it. A lot of people don't even know it. This is the message that Jesus wants to bring it to you today. Why Jesus is the only hope? Why is Jesus is the only way? Just because he says so? Because what Jesus did on the cross for you, there's no other message in the world. He came when he paid the price on the cross. He did it for you and for everyone on this earth, every nation and tribe on this earth. You and I need to take this gospel to the ends of the earth. That's the reason. Now, let me ask you one more time. Now, this passion that God wanted to ignite within you, did it happen or not? If you enter into a relationship, it happened, even though you don't see it. This passion of Jesus Christ, who wanted to reach all the people in the world, that fire he wanted to kindle within every disciple, every follower of Jesus Christ. It's the relationship, not a religion. If you come this morning as a religious person, make a commitment today, receive Jesus Christ into your life and saying, no longer I just be a religious person, going to church every Sunday and going through all the motions of what Christians do, but rather find a relationship where Jesus becomes truly the Lord. Jesus become your Savior once and for all. You cannot raise a child who's not born, right? The child needs to be born in order to grow and raise them. The reality of many churches are there are so many religious people. It could be thousands or even 10,000s of congregation. There are so many religious people, not a born-again Christians, who receive the fire within their hearts. There's no passion whatsoever in their life. No direction, no hope, no future. Listen, this is the passion of Jesus Christ. He wants to put it in your heart so that you know for sure that you have salvation and you have a home in heaven. And that this world, you and I are just passing through. We are camping through. There's no reason to cling to, hold on to anything in this world. Rather, you press on because your final destination where Jesus is waiting for you with open arms. Anyone and everyone can receive this. Now, this passion, if you go on to the next passage of today, next verse, it has become an obsession in your life. Nothing can happen until you truly make it into your goal of your life. Now, verse 50 says these words. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. Verse 50 talks about baptism. What kind of baptism is he talking about in chapter 12? Here is what he talks about, the baptism of death and the resurrection on the cross that he's referring to. Without death, there is no justification, right? Without resurrection, there's no hope. And Jesus did it. And he's offering you and I to be one who kindle fire within you, and then you need to fuel this fire to grow and become burning within your soul. How does it happen? If you don't put the gas in your car, can it run? No, it doesn't, right? Soon as gas is out, you're stopped. And maybe some of you in this room, you feel like you are emptied, spiritually emptied. Feels like no power within you to go anywhere, do anything. There is a power in Jesus. He offers you unlimited power, and he says, I wish you experience me. I wish that you come with me. I hope you follow me to do what I am doing in this world. He invites you. First, the passion is kindled within your hearts, and then it becomes an obsession in your life. How do you do that? Daily. Putting more fuel onto this fire that is kindled so that you and I become a passionate people in this world. In John 9:39, these words that Jesus speaks, For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. He said, I came for the judgment. On the cross, his judgment was done. He died. So he paid once and for all. That was the purpose that he came. Now, how do you fuel this kindle fire within you? How do you make this fire burning and grow bigger and bigger and bigger? You and I need to do what Jesus has done. Not my will, your will. Not my plan, your plan. Not my vision, your vision. And you continue to walk the path what Jesus Christ did. Now, the crucifixion paid for the sins of all mankind. Like Jesus, we need to take this cross daily and begin to follow his steps. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says these words. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. The famous verses in discipleship, right? Cross that you and I need to carry daily. How do you do that? What is this cross he's talking about? What does that mean to deny yourself and then finally follow Jesus Christ every step of the way? Now, one of the reasons we did not finish the task of reaching every tribe and every nation in this world is because we are not obeying God's word here. The fire that God has given, the life that God has given, we are not burning within our souls with this salvation that we have received. We might have so many activities, some of us, of religious things that we do, and yet in reality, we do not have what Jesus Christ is doing, has done, and we do not follow him in his steps. If somebody asks me, what did Jesus Christ did on this earth? What did Jesus Christ do? I use the one word to describe it, discipleship. He made disciples. Wasn't it clear? He said, I go and make a place for you. I will come back. Go and make disciples of all nations, right? That was the last words, last commands. These are the words that he spoke, and yet so many of so-called followers of Jesus Christ are standing still, doing all the religious activities in their life, and they are not seeing the fruits, and they are asking why. Today's scripture tells us that the baptism that he needed to go, the cross that he needed to carry, and he needed to die for the cross, on the cross, and you and I need to do the same thing in our lives. How do we do that? Deny yourself. First, not I, but Christ, not my plans, God's plans. How do you get there? By prayer. When you really pray, I'm talking about mature prayer. Not kind of prayers you say, God, give me this, I need this. God, give me healing. God, give me job. Or God, give me whatever that may be. Those are good, and we need to do that. God is the provider. But have you prayed, what is God's will? What is your will? What is your plan? I will adjust all my plan. I will follow you. That is the mature prayer. In your prayer, you say, I'm thinking about doing this, Lord, but I want your plan. Show me. When I was 23, I was praying that kind of prayers, and God revealed Africa in my prayers, and I knew. It happened 7 consecutive days. I knew it was God's will. I didn't want to go. I didn't want to deny myself. I didn't want my plan to go sour. I wanted to do my will, and yet when it happened 7 days every day, I knew God wanted me to go to Africa, and I said, Lord, I will. Now, if you and I, all of us in this room, begin to deny ourselves in that way, in prayer, really, Lord, what is your plan? God will reveal to you. Amos 3:7 in the video I mentioned, right? The sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plans. But the reality of many of us is we are too busy. We are too occupied. We do prayers. We go to the retreats. We go to Sunday worships. And yet, our ears are somewhere else. Our plans are all made up already. And can you imagine a churches in Los Angeles alone? decided to follow Christ at all costs, do you know what will happen? You know, when I did a research on how many Onuchi tribes are in this world, left in this world, there were 1581. I told you that before, right? There are more than 1581 churches in LA, I believe. There are more than 1581 churches, 1,581 churches in even New York, even Seoul, Korea. Why can we not finish it? Why? One reason only. They might have received this fire within them, but it is so small and they are not fueling it with denying themselves, taking the cross daily, and ultimately following Christ's directions. If every church did that, and every church adopted one tribe and decided to send somebody who is making disciples, in our generation, this task can be completed. You know, short-term mission trips are great. We need to go. But God is looking for a man and woman who is willing to go and make disciples. Discipleship takes time. You begin to do the short term to find out, oh Lord, is it where you want me to be? And when God speaks to you, you need to surrender and say, leave everything behind and to follow. Now, passion that we receive becomes an obsession in your life. Why? Because unless it becomes an obsession, you are occupied with other things. Whatever that may be, and however good may be, but it's a short of excellence that God wanted to be. The enemy of many devoted Christians is good. Good is not good enough for God. God wants a perfection, and he says, I am perfect, and I want followers who follows me to imitate me and be perfect as I am perfect, becoming excellent wherever we may be, whatever we do. Now, lastly, this obsession turns into an ambition in our life. Now, wherever I travel and whenever I talk to somebody, what is your vision in your life? What is an ambition in your life? What makes your heart pump, and what makes you stay up late at night, and what makes you get up early in the morning? This is something that you live for and die for. You will spend all your money for. Invest your all strength. The last verse of today, verse 51. If you turn to it, let me read that for you. Do you think that I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. This division separates you from the people of this world. Now, Satan does a good job. Now, he wants you to be a good Christian, not an excellent one. He wants to go to church, but you get, you know, good job and good house and live just like a non-Christian, but having Christ and as one addition in your life. Not of this world. That's what Jesus proclaimed you to be. Not of this world, but we are of this world. Except for going to the church, there's nothing different from you and the people of this world, then something is wrong. Jesus wanted total transformation. Your value system of your life, what you value in your life, will change. And that today's scripture is talking about as a division, dividing you from the people of this world. The follower of Jesus Christ, there is a one common ambition. Do you know what that is? They want to know the will of God. Number one, knowing the will of God. That's why you pray. That's why you worship. That's why you come to God. That's why you talk to the pastors and leaders. You want to know the will of God. First thing is knowing the will of God. And probably all of you in this room, I will say, you will know. You know the will of God. What is the will of God? He wants to reach every person on this face of the earth, right? And we call it mission. This mission becomes your ambition in your life. Unless it becomes ambition, you do not pursue this. And Jesus is calling you, be separate, be holy, divided from this world. And now, this ambition in your life, you need to fulfill it. But ironically, people that I meet over the years, you know, I went to Africa in 1993. So it's been 26 years since I've been doing the work of God. And I realized the reason why we cannot finish the task. Because many people know it. They know what to do. But they don't go out of the step to follow Christ. Just like Jesus said to Peter, jump, jump. He's standing in the water, you know. At the edge of the boat, Jesus said, jump. And Peter is the only one jumped. And start walking on the water, experienced it. We need more people like that who listen to the voice of God. They know the will. You know the will. Now, are you going to fulfill it? It's the next step. Now, I want to apply this in your life and my life now. Okay, how do I do this? How do I get the fire that is kindled within me? If you haven't received Jesus Christ in your life, you should do that now. Don't wait. Don't live on. If you're not sure today was the last day you will go to heaven, make sure that you become a child of God. Jesus offers you this new life. This good news needs to go to the ends of the earth. You cannot give what you do not have. First, you must have the fire kindled within you. Now, continue to deny yourself and you come to God and make this small fire grow bigger and bigger and burning within your heart and becomes an obsession in your life. And then finally, it becomes an ambition. Whatever you do, the ultimate preoccupation of your life. Occupation may be doctor, lawyer, a manager, or whatever it may be. Your preoccupation is taking this gospel to the ends of the earth, right? Now, there are three things you need to do. Follow me, please. Repeat after me, as loud as you can, right? Worship. Fellowship. Discipleship. That's the key. If you don't have your personal worship, don't compensate it or don't think that coming together in a worship like this substitute your personal worship with God. God wants you. God wants to meet you where you are personally. If each one of you have a personal worship, once you're gathered in a corporate worship like this, it will become a fire. It will become a powerful gathering. But if you don't have a worship personally, individually, you are not praising God. You are not reading the scriptures. You are not talking to God. And coming together will not do anything. But if you have a personal worship, it will become powerful. Take a moment. Take a minute. Or take you know, half day off out of the month or week. Go somewhere alone and say, praise God for what God is doing in your life. Cultivate within your lifestyle, you know, family worship. Teach your children what it means to be a worshiper. Not when you go to church, but when you're home. Second thing was a fellowship, right? You gather together with the people who are worshiping. You talk about, you know, real fellowship where your heart and heart, the kindle fire will meet another fire and it adds to the fire and it becomes a bigger fire, right? Bonfire that it becomes. That's what happens in a real church, fellowship. Not just coming together to watch sports together kind of thing, fellowship, you know. Come together to eat and become bigger, you know, physically kind of fellowship. But I'm talking about real fellowship. It's not what you eat is important. It's whom you are eating with and what you share. The passion, obsession, and ambition. Once you share this together, it becomes something concrete. Don't undermine what you can do. You're undermining the power of God. Remember, from your congregation here can raise 1,581 missionaries. You can. Do you know why? Because of your God. Our God is so great and powerful. But you might say, oh, our finances this much. To do this kind of work, we need billionaires. Indeed. That's probably what we need to finish the task. Last thing was discipleship, right? Worship, fellowship, discipleship. Apply it in your life. If you're not making a disciple now, make it. Start it. Jesus did it. Ask Jesus, how can I make a disciple? Read the Matthew Mark, Luke, and John and see how Jesus did it. There are many books out there. You can just pick one and just make a disciple. Jesus did it. He commends it. Nothing less. Worship, fellowship, discipleship. Some of you came to this room not expecting much. Some of you came very sleepy this morning. Some of you came like a car with a dead battery. You try to start, but it doesn't even sound anything. What do? You bring a friend's car, right? You jump it to start the car. Maybe you need to do that this morning. There are passionate people in this world. Everywhere I go, I meet with this passionate people who wanted to be obsessed, who wanted to have ambition in their lives. There are people like that. You need to have true fellowship with these kind of people and kindle fire within you once again and to start worship, fellowship, discipleship. May God bless all of you, and may your church truly be used by God for the purpose He has for you and your church and your family.